Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Monday, August 22nd, right?
Yeah, Dory? It's good for you.
Yeah, it's the first time I checked it is right now, so there's a hesitation.
No one knows what day it is, ever.
Yeah, I know. Well, it is Monday. I try to timestamp the shows, and it just feels good to give the date, so what the hell, you know? And then you can always listen back and know exactly what date you're listening
to. That's right.
So there you go. You see, I think about everything, man. Or at least I think I do. How are you, Tori?
I'm doing well.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I started a new exercise program.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I'm
trying to be more active, like
I'm
you
said. I'm impressed.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So what kind of an exercise program is that?
Okay, so if you guys go to Fitness Blender, I like to find little hacks where things are free.
Yeah.
And it's free. Uh-huh. And it's a man and his wife, and they started in their garage, and they do very simple but very like great exercises for free. And now it's like this well-known thing, and it's still free.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. You can get it on YouTube, and it's just like either one person and another person narrating. So it's not like, you can do it, girl. Get on there.
Right, yeah.
I want to shoot those
people. So it's
not
the cheesy ones.
No.
Now, is that... Now, would a video be enough for you to stay committed to this?
Yeah, so what I do is I sign up for their programs where they pick which videos you do for like 2 weeks or 4 weeks, so I don't have to think.
Right.
So, and I have a calendar, and I just go... I did upper body yesterday, but they're good. They're like 35 to 45 minutes, but they have Pilates videos if you want that. They have weightlifting, and it's always one guy with a background, white background. It's very like Google, very clean.
Right?
It's a great option if you're looking to work out. I like to watch Dateline and work out at home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds good.
That's so
okay, whatever. Sounds nerdy, but okay.
Super nerdy.
So, but it's not like you have a trainer or anything,
no.
A personal trainer or anything.
I pretend they're my trainers, but they're not.
There you go. If you can stay committed to this, then you'll be just fine, you know. Just
totally.
Be consistent with it.
Yeah.
And I find that I'm more consistent if I go to the gym, you know. Mm-hmm. But I hate the gym, so I'm not consistent.
Right. It's called a catch-22, sir.
Yeah, right.
No, the gym culture is not for me.
Right?
I'm too much like of a dork and like clumsy. Like, that's not good for me.
Yeah, I know. It's like people don't go there to work out anyway, you know.
They're checking you out.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Heck yeah.
So, and I'm not good at that, so I shouldn't be going to the gym.
It's just so awkward. Like,
yeah,
you're not at your best. You're like dying and someone's like, hey there.
Right, you know.
Very awkward.
I know. But it's just so cliche to hit on someone at the gym,
God.
You know. It's like you would go, well, what line hasn't she heard yet, right?
Are you running because you're an angel? I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. But, yeah, no, it's dreadfully cheesy. But, you know, it's like other than the gym, where do you meet people?
Yeah, that's true.
It's terrible.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe that's
museums,
why I'm not meeting
maybe?
People.
I know.
But, no, you have to go out. I think that's the best way to meet people is to go out, you know. Bars, restaurants, events, comedy clubs.
Yeah, you got to get
things like
out
that,
there.
You
yeah.
know. You really have to. I mean, every time I go out, I meet people, but I don't go out that much, you know, so.
I become, as I got older, I used to go out all the time, and now I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, well, you're a homebody now, you know.
That's very true.
But that's the thing. When you're single, you constantly have that pressure to go out and meet somebody and things like that.
And then it's like, now you can stay in because you got yourself that phone app.
Right.
You got a ton of phone apps. You can choose.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. You don't have to go anywhere. My God.
I know. These dating apps, man. I don't know, man. They make me crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, what can you do? It's that's the age of technology.
It's the currency
know?
Now. That's the way you have to meet people. It's very strange.
Yeah, I know. But I prefer to meet other ways. So, So going out is underrated, folks. I mean, you got to go out there and meet people, you know? Enough with the movies and the Netflix and all that
you
stuff.
You get Netflix
you know?
And chill later.
Exactly.
Yeah, go
you
meet
know?
Someone.
Enough with the Netflix, man.
True.
So, yeah, so that's the situation. And, yeah, more power to everybody.
There you go.
What can I say? I just wanted to bring up a couple things. We do have guests in the studio. And they are indeed special, like all our guests. And we'll get to them in just a moment. I did want to just mention the killing in Turkey. You've heard of that.
Of course.
Yeah. See, that's one thing about you. I know I don't have to fill you in on the news. Yeah. You already know.
It's true. In L.A., you don't know if people even know, like, who's president.
Yeah,
that's true.
Exactly.
That's so true.
It's like, what? You mean there was a shooting in Turkey and 54
again?
People died?
Yeah, no, it's
and
horrific.
And didn't hear about it?
And everyone, like, almost half of them were under the age of, they were almost all children.
Yeah,
it was
children
terrible.
And stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Turkey, my parents went there. They had the best vacation.
Right.
And this was only like less than 10 years ago. And it was like this really upscale place that they loved, you know. And now it's like we wanted to go on a vacation. We can't go there.
No, no. It's definitely part of the Middle East, even if it's not exactly there. But it's the culture, the violence.
It's a hot spot now. I mean, that's been like the third bombing in Turkey or shooting in Turkey
right,
for a while.
Right, yeah. Because ISIS doesn't like them very much.
God.
Yeah. So, you know, the Olympics concluded. Did you get to see any of it?
I watched the closing ceremony.
Really?
I watched the whole thing. I love the Olympics.
I wish I had. Yeah.
You know, it's fun. It's
I love the Olympics, but I didn't even get to see my diving, for crying out loud.
Oh, it was so good.
Really?
Oh, my God. Now, I watched the closing ceremony, and they passed the torch to Tokyo. Because they're doing it 2020. And Tokyo is like a little bit more modern than Brazil. So their little part of the closing ceremonies was like way cooler than the other parts. Which is not to say anti-Brazil, but they just had the graphics were phenomenal. And their prime minister, Shinzo Abe, was like, they did a little sketch, and he was like, I can't get to Rio in time. So he jumps into Mario, Super Mario, and he jumps through all the things, and then he ends up in Rio. They have a Mario, like, mushroom, and he popped out.
Whoa.
And he undressed as Mario, and he was Shinzo Abe, and it was like this awesome moment. So everyone's like, Tokyo's going to be great.
Right. I mean, if the prime minister, my God.
I mean, right? Know? That was like in London when the Queen did that with James Bond.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was cool.
Very cool.
But she didn't jump off the plane, though.
No. Yeah. It would be weird if she did.
He wore a Mario suit.
It was great. It was like a great little bit. But yeah, it should be really fun.
Yeah.
And it was raining the whole time during the ceremony, so it was very...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it looks very colorful. I mean, I've seen some of the pictures. It looked great.
They did a whole thing with people dressed as fruit.
Really?
And I felt bad because some people got to be, like, fun, and some people were just, like, they had a broccoli. I was like, oh, man, those people. It was a long fruit number, too.
Yeah,
and on
right?
and on and on. But then Tokyo came.
Yeah. Who knows what that is, you know?
Right.
But,
very colorful, though.
Yeah, yeah. And that Lochte story is pretty weird, right?
So weird. You know what's even weirder? I read in the New York Times. He was told by a State Department official, all the guys, the swimmers, you know what? Let's not say anything after it happened. They're all agreed. He walks across the street to Ipanema Beach, sees Billy Bush, and like is like, hey, so I got robbed. And I'm like, he didn't have to say anything.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He's Speedo just dropped him.
Yes, they did. Now, the question is, so what's the story? I mean, did it happen? Didn't it happen?
So they weren't supposed to be drinking, and they were drinking. So he tried to cover that, which is funny and ironic because he got in way more trouble than if he'd just been like, we were drinking.
Right.
So he went, and they were drinking, and they got out to go pee, which is so classy. And instead of going in the gas station bathroom, they were like, let's go on the wall.
Right.
And then the gas station guy's like, hey, this is my business. How about you don't do that? And then he starts getting a little feisty. And he rips his sign off and he starts kicking the door in. And they, of course, call security. And the security comes and does put a gun towards them. So that part is what he is holding on to legally.
Okay.
And says, you need to pay us for the vandalism. And they took $50 or whatever and they walked away. And what he said is they were jumped in a car by people who pretended to be cops with a cocked gun in my head.
Yeah.
So that's a
little
different.
Right? Quite a different story.
Kinda. And when he apologized, he was like, I guess I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He was
right.
Very sort of passive aggressive.
Yeah. I guess that success gets to their head sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
And he had a like reality show on MTV.
Yeah.
This guy's kind of like, they call him the douchebag. Like, he's a douche.
Really?
You know what I mean? He's like a bro. So, yeah, he got drunk and, of course, blamed it on. Of course, Americans. Now that's our legacy. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, he's got it coming for him then.
And it's his last Olympics because he's 32, but they're thinking there is a talk of banning him or suspending him. And the other people were like 20 with him. So now they're going to be in trouble the rest of their lives. And
right?
What a dumbass.
Wow. Stupid, stupid, stupid. But that's what people do when they're drunk.
That's
you
right.
know?
That's what douchebags do.
Exactly. If you can't hold your alcohol, don't drink.
Don't drink.
Yeah.
And also, Rio was supposed to be this terrible thing, and it turned out to be great. And then they marred it with this little story. And
right.
It's called the Loch Mess. Swim Shady. I heard someone say Swim Shady.
And finally, before we get to our guests, this is interesting. Doctors remove 40 knives from a man's stomach in India. Now, so you would ask, why would you have 40 knives in your stomach?
Tell me, Sam,
right?
Why would he have that 40 knives?
Because he had a wild urge to consume metal.
Mm.
Yeah. And the surgeons are saying, even for us, it was frightening. I've never seen
That's
anything
40?
Like that before.
At like 18, I'd be like, what's happening here? You know what I mean? 22, you're like still going.
My God, but how did he survive this?
I don't know. And was it in the stomach or just?
Probably in the stomach, yeah.
Were they little? Do they have a picture?
They have, I think it's a picture. I don't know what I'm looking at here. It's kind of blurry. But they were about 7 inches long.
Oh, my God.
When fully extended. Oh, they were foldable knives.
Oh, very thoughtful.
So maybe that's why
a little
I didn't
bit more
cut
compact.
Them, though, right? But he no, but some he swallowed folded and some unfolded.
Oh my God! How did he yeah. swallow that?
I don't know.
You'd think that if he liked metal, he'd take like paper, like do a paper clip or something.
Yeah, I know, but my you know, God. And then they said they started rusting and breaking.
Oh my God!
Yeah. I mean, what is this, you know? All the weird things are happening in India. I don't know what's going on
there. Is a show where they say what on MTV of things that people eat, like weird addictions. And mm-hmm. some woman ate chalk constantly.
Wow.
And toilet paper rolls. Glass was one.
Wow.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's weird. But yeah. knives seems
Aren't you
particularly
glad we're only
stupid.
A little screwed up?
Yeah. We're only a little weird.
Yeah.
40 knives.
Oh, wow. People are...
Strange.
Up, man. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, let's get to our guests now who are sitting here patiently.
Right after the knife story.
I know, after the knife story, they're
Good
cracking
segue.
Up.
Good segue. Good segue.
We're joined by Kat Green and Kimberly Lehmans. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks
of
for
course.
Having us.
Thank you for coming. And so, Kim, it's a little surprise that you showed up because they said only Kat was showing up.
Really?
So, right.
Oh, I was excited to see you in the lobby.
But I'm really glad you're here.
Thank you.
And you'll definitely add to the show. You're the star of the film.
Yes. I am. Wow. Thanks to Kat.
Yeah. Yes. And so Kat and Kim are part of the film called The Big Swim. And Kat, you seem to, your name is all over this. So so this is your film?
Yes.
It is your film.
Yeah.
You wrote, produced.
Wrote, produced.
Directed too?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Female power.
Yeah, there you go.
Hashtag.
You say,
lady filmmaker.
Multi-talented. I'm impressed. So, wow. So when did you complete the film?
Well, it was the principal photography was shot in November,
uh-huh.
and I completed it post production everything. End of June.
Oh, so it's pretty recent.
Yes.
Have you released it yet?
It's not released to the public. It uh-huh. just went out to the festivals.
Okay.
Holly Shorts, it said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it's a short. How long is it?
It's 25 minutes.
25
it's
minutes.
It's a long short.
Yeah.
We just had another one of these.
I know. We had a 35-minute short, right.
Yeah, it is long.
And, it is long.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's not a coincidence because they were referred by the same publicist and everything. So shout out to Catherine.
There you go.
But, yeah, I was surprised yesterday you sent us a message. You didn't even know where you were going.
No.
What happened to Catherine? You need to tell her where she's going. So, well, I'm glad you guys are here.
Thank you.
So, now, so this is going in the festival circuit. How easy or how difficult is it to get into that?
It's actually very challenging.
Really?
There's, you know, a ton of competition. The festivals are getting hundreds of submissions.
Wow.
And depending on the festival, if it's not a short film festival, if it's a general broad film festival, the short film program is usually, you know, only a small portion of
Yeah, like
the
you
festival.
Get pushed aside or something.
Yeah, wow. So what happens is, in our case, because it's a 25-minute movie, a lot of times it doesn't even get watched because they look at the length and go, oh, well, this is going to eat up, you know, what we could fit 3 or 4 shorts, you know, in the same amount of time that we can fit yours. So
did you know that in advance, but you had to tell your story
I did,
in 25 minutes.
Exactly. I did. Right. And because I didn't really, I made the film for me, selfishly. I made the film to really figure out if I as an artistic self-expression, but also to figure out if I can direct mm-hmm. And if I like it. So I really didn't do it with any, and that was sort of the purpose of it, was to not have any, you know, means to the end or whatever of this project, and just do it for art's sake.
Right.
And because so much of what we do here in Hollywood is trying to get, you know, trying to sell a project, trying to fit into a box of, you know, whatever the studio wants or the network wants or whatever. And we don't really get a whole lot of opportunities to create something artistic.
Yeah.
Not to make money, not to have any, you know. And then, you know, ultimately, I think the goal is for somebody to see it and go, wow, that's a beautiful movie. I love her directing, or I love her acting, or, you know, or whatever. And I want to hire those people.
Yeah.
So, and if my goal was to get it into festivals and win awards and all that, I probably would have really focused on doing something under 15 minutes and maybe something a little more edgy and dramatic and, you know, with a little more controversy or something, because that's what they tend to gravitate towards. But that wasn't the purpose. So to me, the festivals is sort of icing on the cake. And I just want people to see it because it's, you know, because of the message of the movie and everything. And I think that I just want as many eyeballs on it as possible. So I am reaching out to the festivals going, look, please just show this. Just show it to people so they can see this, you know.
Right.
In the major festivals, it does help to know somebody, whether you have an agent that, you know, makes the call at Sundance or, you know, or whatever, or you know people who work for the festivals. That does help get you to the sort of the top of the list of films that they'll actually watch and consider.
Right.
You know, once they watch it, if they still don't like it, I can't do anything about that. Mm-hmm. But
that's
getting
true.
Them to watch it, that's really, you know, the challenging part.
Now, Kimberly, how did you guys connect? How did you connect with Kat?
Actually, through, I guess, a mutual friend, Jared Day, who was the casting director on the film, and he reached out to me not too long before the auditions were over and was like, do you have a scuba license? You can scuba dive, right? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, would you mind coming in to audition for this this film or whatever? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, I was like, what do you need a scuba diver for? And they're like, oh, well, we need to find an actress that's comfortable swimming with sharks. And I was like, I'm in.
Oh, my God.
Do you know how rare it is to find that person who's gorgeous and is like, I also swim with sharks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I wasn't sure that I would get it, but I was like, well, that sounds awesome. So I went in and I auditioned, and it was great. Just the experience of it, of the audition, was awesome. And then I got the call saying I got it.
Oh. Wow, how cool is that? Now, and we'll get to you guys' background and everything, and how you connected for the film and all that. But yeah, I'm seeing in the poster there are sharks.
Yes.
I didn't realize what it was. So you managed to insert sharks in the 25-minute film. That's pretty cool.
That's why the film is so long, is because we have such great shots.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, we have like drone shots and underwater shots.
Wow.
And it's really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, the cinematography is really beautiful, and we really took advantage of our location.
Mm-hmm.
And,
where were you guys in location?
Cozumel, Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah, and the sharks actually they migrate down to Playa del Carmen. It's bull sharks. These are bull sharks, and they are like the second most aggressive towards humans.
Didn't know that's what it was.
Yeah. How attractive! I mean,
second to the great white.
Yeah,
so.
Can I get a gig like that?
Nurse sharks in a cave sounds great.
Cage.
But what I was told when I was doing my reconnaissance, when I was figuring out where to shoot, what to, you know, if we can actually go and dive with sharks and whatever, they told me that it's the female sharks that come in to give birth, and that they're much more docile and they're not as aggressive, although they could be, but they're not as aggressive as they are in the wild or with male sharks and everything. So so they said that they have regular scuba dives, tourist dives, and, you know, to go down there, no cages, no chain
mail, really? Wow.
Nothing. And so Kimberly was like, yeah, I'll do it. That's so cool. It's on my bucket list.
I have a bucket list.
It was awesome. And I was, you know, I had sort of a backup plan to get a body double. But
oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just in case.
Good to know.
Just in case.
No, but she does her own stunts.
Yeah,
there
we
you go. You see, it raises your value in Hollywood.
Thank you.
Like Tom Cruise.
Doesn't matter,
right?
That I'm like missing an arm right
now. Yeah. She came in with no legs.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. So Kat, how did you come up with the idea for the film? Well, tell us what the film's about first.
Okay, yeah. The film is about a young woman who struggles with a possible breast cancer diagnosis, and she decides to face her biggest fear, which is swimming with sharks.
Oh, wow.
So she goes to Cozumel, Mexico, where she falls in love with her dive master.
Of course.
Duh.
Love it.
Yeah. She's a hunk.
Hottie.
Yeah, well, it's always the personal
always.
Trainer,
yeah,
the
it.
This, the that, you know.
The guy in the scuba suit. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So it's a romance, yeah. But ultimately it's a film about facing your fears. It's a film about don't wait until you're told you're going to die before you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many times we want to take or we need to take risks in our life to have big change or whatever, and we're too afraid, or we're living in our bubble, or we're living a very sort of safe life and not allowing ourselves to experience things. And, you know, I think there's a Buddhist monk, Pema Chodron, who really talks about how life, if you're not feeling pain and sadness, which is all we are made up of, so many different capacities to feel different emotions, and if you don't allow yourself to go through that, then you might as well be dead,
because
you're not feeling.
Yeah,
right,
and
right.
There's growth out of that, and there's growth out of, you know, the hard times that we go through.
It's funny because you jumped off a cliff making the movie, and she jumped off a cliff into the shark pool.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Wow.
It's both
exactly.
The same mirroring.
Yeah, well, that was sort of, you know, I would say the movie is very poetic because it's, you know, it has a, you know, it has a grand theme, you know, all wrapped in the breast cancer theme and all that stuff. But for me personally, it was about taking on the challenge of taking on a project where I didn't have any of my friends or family or anybody help me with this. And I'm like, I want to do this from start to finish. I want to come up with the concept. I want to write it. I want to figure out how to make this.
That's like diving with sharks.
It.
My God.
Yeah. And just go for it without a net. And then, you know, if it's great, then I can be really proud.
You should be proud.
And if it's not, and I fail, hey, I win for it.
Exactly.
You know? And so it's like
you took the chance.
And, yeah.
And that's the only way to get rewards is to take chances, you know, because if you're just going to be like everybody else and minimize your risk, then you're not going to grow, really. You're not going to get
You're not
going to
live.
You know?
Yeah, that's exactly. She says about Pema, too, I read, she says, we all want ground underneath our feet, always. We want to know where the next step goes. Mm-hmm. And the trick is there's never any ground.
That's
and
right.
I was like, mind blown.
Yeah.
It's all, and you're never going to get there. And the more you want that, the more you suffer.
Mm. Right, right. Yeah. And being able to live in that uncomfortable zone.
Oh, God.
You
finding
know,
comfort
in
discomfort. Yeah.
Comfort and discomfort in that in-between. That's where we have a lot of anxiety, is that in-between zone. And so if you're always trying to suppress that or make it not, you know, feel anxious or whatever, then you're not going to grow from it. You're not going to like learn anything. And so, yeah. And so in this movie, the character Rachel, she goes on that journey where we kind of assume that maybe her life in the past has been very safe, and she chose, like, you know, because she's had to live with this, her mother died of cancer. And so she had to live with this, knowing that she has this gene in her and that one day her number could be up. So what kind of a decision? It was based on that part of it. Thankfully, knock on wood, I don't have breast cancer. But that, but I had to come up with a catalyst for my character. Like, what gets her there? What, you know, and so when I know so many people touch with breast cancer, either them or their family or whatever, but I have one friend who is that story. Her mother died when she was, I think, about 10. Mm. And so I kind of really thought about what kind of decisions would you make in your life if you had this hanging over your head all the time? And would it affect you? Would you take the safe route, you know, because you're afraid of everything? Or would you, like, be extreme and, like, be reckless? Or what, you know, what kind of men would you choose in your life for a woman? You know, it's like somebody who's going to treat me good or somebody who's not going
to. When the stakes are that high, what do you choose to do?
Yeah, and so it was that kind of thinking about that, that I'm like, okay, so, you know, figuring out this character and what, you know, where might she have come from and where, what's her arc and what journey is she going to, you know, once she receives this diagnosis, how is that all of a sudden, like, shock and woke her up to go, holy crap, I've got to, you know, do something. I don't know what, but I got to do something.
Something's got to change.
Now, Kim, did you know of the script before you auditioned? Did you know what the film was going to be about?
I did. I think I read it because it was a short. So I think I got to read it. And then my audition sides were pretty straightforward. And I also have my best friend back home. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. My best friend back home is dealing with something pretty similar. So I could really relate to it.
You could relate to it and connect with the character.
Yeah. And
stuff.
I told Kat in the audition room, I was like, I really relate to this. And I really want to make this good.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are dealing with stuff like that, and they don't know what to do, and the medicine out there isn't 100%, and people are trying preventive stuff that isn't great. So it's really interesting, and I think the basis of life, what we talked about earlier about different books that we're reading, is you have to start living before you're told you're going to die. So just live a healthier, full life, and some of these things tend to just fall away in that case. So
right,
yeah,
and this also brings the I think to light the fact that this can happen at any age, right? I mean, this is a young woman. It's not like you have to wait till you're older to get cancer. It can strike everybody, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Wow. So so this is the film. The film is The Big Swim. You guys can find out more about the film at the website called thebigswimfilm.com. And you can see there's a trailer there too, right?
Yeah, there's a trailer.
There's a trailer.
And then also on Facebook, The Big Swim Movie.
Okay.
If you search The Big Swim Movie on Facebook.
Okay, and there's a link to it from the website too, so you guys can check it out and see. So yeah, I see there's quite a bit of underwater photography.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have cost a fortune,
how
right?
How did you do that? Yeah, tell us about that. I'm so interested.
Well, it's really interesting because actually Guy Chumet is the DP, the cinematographer who did the dive sequences and the underwater sequences and the shark sequences. He was one of the first people that I hired. He's a cinematographer and director for National Geographic. He does a lot of, why he and his wife, they live in Cozumel, and they do a lot of underwater, a lot of fish, you know, those fish documentaries. And
love those fish things.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
and they travel all over the world, and he's worked with sharks before. And so, you know, when I met with him, I was just like, oh my God, this guy's perfect.
Right.
And he knew how to work with the actors, and this was his first live action scripted, you know, movie that he's done, because everything else he's just done, you know, did with fish and voiceover. So it was really sort of a coordination and communication about what type of what shots are really important that I need, you know, for to build the drama underwater. And he was really proactive in, you know, helping me with like little storyboard things and helping sort of figure out how we're going to do that, because I'm not a diver, so I couldn't go underwater and like direct, you know.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
I mean, so how did you direct it?
No, well, it was all above water. We talked, and then, you know, he and I did prep work before the shoot to discuss the scenes and discuss everything. And then on the day of, when we're there, we kind of go over it again and go, okay, make sure you get this one, make sure you get the eyes, make sure you get this, the turn. And,
and then you have to trust him that he can
yes,
do it.
Yes, trust him that he can do it. Trust the actors that they that they can do it. And he would always say, but you can't control the fish.
That's the name of my next book.
Yes. Can't control the fish.
And, you know, it's true.
So,
that's true.
So it was just kind of like going like God, just like this whole movie. It was just
like,
okay, well, you
bye.
Know, yeah. I hope everybody's safe. That's the most important part. And do your best to get the shots. And
did you have a plan in case someone did get hurt? Was there?
Oh God, no. We had insurance, so it was like, okay, we have insurance in case somebody gets hurt. But at the same time, it was like, oh God,
God, just prayer.
And I remember the day she was shark diving because we were doing all these, second unit where we were just driving around Cozumel shooting exteriors and stuff like that. And she was on her dive and we had no communication.
Oh my God.
So we're just going, oh God, please come back alive. And to top it off, we saved it for the last day.
They saved it for the last day, just in case.
Like that happened. You know, that's sort of filmmaking 101. You want to shoot the sex scene first and the action scene last.
Yeah.
Wow.
God. Diving. How was diving with it? Was it fun?
It was less stressful than the sex scene.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
I can imagine that.
No, it was amazing. I had been told by different people before, they were like, oh my God, you're going with bull sharks. Like, yeah, they're like the worst and this and that. And I was like, don't tell me that. It's totally fine. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
And so I really tried to not like indulge in YouTube and all that beforehand. And I was really excited. And we went in. We did two dives to get the different shots. The first dive, they gave us this little PVC pipe, which made me ridiculously comfortable.
Of course.
Like,
in
as
case
if that
something
was going to do something.
Oh,
yeah.
See, okay.
They were like, just you can move it up and the sharks will feel that something's in their way and they won't bug you that
tiny
much.
Tiny little pipe.
My little pipe. So the first time we went down, I was definitely like white knuckling it. But they were so peaceful. It was really, really serene. Like, wow. It was a really lovely connection because we were, like, on eye level. I was kneeling on the ground, and they just swam up next to us. And it was just like this, you know, we are one moment.
Wow.
And then the second dive, we went back down, and I actually started swimming with them. They didn't show it, but it was really peaceful. It was really nice.
Ooh.
It's definitely a different experience to be on their level.
And in their environment.
In their environment. Yeah, yeah. But then, yeah, when you have to, like, go back up to the boat, you're like, my feet are dangling. That's less fun, but it was beautiful. They were mothers. That's all they wanted. They were just, like, waiting to give their babies life.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Now, Kat, I mean, you know, people think a short film, there's probably like a couple people working on this. And I see that you get like a huge, not only a big cast, but a huge like crew and stuff. How did you put it all together? I mean, was it because you said you wanted to prove it to yourself. So this was your first film?
This was my first film that I did everything on, my first directing.
Okay.
I executive produced a Hallmark movie of the week, and I have a couple others in development. So, but as like, you know, as a filmmaker, start to finish, writing, directing, whatever, this is my first, yeah.
Wow. So how did you go about finding all these people?
Well, actually, it's interesting because first I had gone to Cozumel on vacation, and that's how I discovered, like, oh, I want to shoot a movie here. You know,
it's apparently glorious.
It's just paradise. It's just beautiful. So I'm like, how do I make this happen? And I'm like, it's Mexico. It's got to be cheap. I'll come with a GoPro and a couple of actors. This will be great. And then I got a laptop and I booked a trip back. And I got like, I said, you know what? I'm doing this total Hollywood style. I'm going to get an oceanfront room with my laptop and the palm trees and the margaritas. And I'm like, going to write this movie, you know? And then while I was there, I was also experiencing life with more locals, meeting people, going to beach clubs, and I took myself on some tours and did a bunch of stuff. And really, you know, the island kind of took me over, you know? Mm. And so I really incorporated the island and sort of the feeling and the vibe that I had there into the script. So when I was there, I was also like, okay, I've got to figure out, can I shoot a movie here? Are the cops going to shut me down? Do I have to get permits? What's it going to cost? Is there a film crew here that I could, you know, use? What am I going to, I can't, you know, afford to bring a whole crew here. I'm like, how am I going to do this? So I started meeting with several people out there. There are some very, you know, few film, they call them fixers, people who are on the ground, who locally act as facilitators to get, you know, the rent the lighting equipment, get the catering, get the, you know, cars, get whatever you need. So, but they're located in Cancun. So I met with a couple of them, and then I met with Guy, the cinematographer. And then he sort of, because he has a photography school, he kind of was giving me the lay of the land and took me around. And I had one fixer show me locations and give me sort of like, okay, they're actually very film friendly here. Cozumel is acts like its own country. They're, they have their own like government there, and the police don't bother you. Everybody knows each other. You know, the people who work at the different beach clubs and hotels and all that stuff. Taxi cabs are king. They rule the whole island. So you get in with the taxi cab drivers and you're golden.
Interesting. So you just work with the locals basically.
Yeah. Wow. So then once I got the lay of the land and figured out who I can hire there, what can I do, then I went back to LA and I'm like, okay, I can't do this by myself. I need a producer. So I had talked to my friend Jared, who was my own the only person that I had known previously that I hired onto the movies, Jared Day. Because I wanted him to play Brian, who's her deadbeat boyfriend.
Yeah.
And so then I start talking to him, and he's like, well, you know, I also have done casting assistant before and blah, blah, blah. And so if you need any help, I'm like, yes, I need help. And then he introduced me to somebody. I said, but you know what? I really need a producer to help me because this is so much now on my plate, you know, and it's I can't just do this as, with just a GoPro. I, you know, the producer in me clicked in, and I'm like, I got to do this right. I've got it, you know. So Jared hooked me up with a producer who then realized pretty quickly that he's like, yeah, I'm not the right person for this because you need someone who knows about, who might be dive certified or knows about that to communicate, be able to communicate with the and know what to do. And so he referred Megan Whipple, who then came on as a producer. And then
so everything fell in place. When you jumped off the cliff, everything came to you.
As it does.
And I also reached out to Adam Dick, who's another producer, who I met at a film festival, who just came off of a short film or an independent movie. And so between the two of them, then I started getting referrals of people. You know, I knew I had to bring a DP. And then it was like a question of, what about equipment? What about sound? What about this? And we quickly realized that Mexico is not cheap. Once they go, oh, Hollywood?
Yeah, where's your money?
Then it's like three times as much. Wow. And I'm like, that's twice as much as what I would pay for it here, and you're charging me that? So once we realized that, I was like, it's cheaper for me to bring bring my own people and bring stuff than it was to hire a fixer there. They have to truck in all of the lighting and all of the gear and all that stuff, and they charged a fortune. So then I crewed up, I staffed up here, cast it, and then went out there and just used a few people out there locally to help us on the ground with locations and, you know, accommodations and catering and driving and things like that. We had somebody over there, Jessiana Jackson, who helped us, hooked us up with a lot of the locals down there. So
that's cool.
Sounds cool. Yeah. We're talking to Kat Green and Kim Lehmans. They are the stars. Well, you're not the star, but you're the star in everything else. You're not in front of the camera, but everything else is definitely Kat. And
Kim's the star.
Kim is a star, and the film is The Big Swim. You can find out more on thebigswimfilm.com, and there's contact and links to Facebook and everything. Let's give a shout out to a couple of the stars in the movie as well. Kim, who did you fall in love with? Fall in love? Who did you have sex with? That's what I care about.
Can't control the fishes.
Yeah, exactly. Love is for girls. Sex is for guys. Go ahead.
This very charming gentleman called Falk Henschel, who did play my romantic lead.
Nice.
So shout out to him at Falk Henschel on Twitter and the socials.
Awesome. And Kat, how did you find him?
Through Kim.
Oh, really?
There's a little
casting couch. Yes.
Oh, wow. There you go.
A little funny story on this is that Kim was like, well, you know, I don't know if you found a dive master yet, but my boyfriend's a dive master.
No, so he's your boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Spoiler.
There you go.
Sorry, spoiler.
Well, no,
but it's actually very interesting. I think, yeah. And from the Hollywood perspective, it's a very interesting story because you know, 101. Do not hire a couple.
Right?
Because what if they break up? What if they have a fight? What if, you know,
it's worse than a shark bite?
There's so much risk to it. So, but she was like, well, I don't know if you, I know you're still casting, but I don't know if you found a dive master and da da da. And I'm like, she's just trying to get her boyfriend
no.
to come on the thing.
See, what had happened was I was visiting him on set in Vancouver, and I was like, oh, I just booked this film. Now you have to come visit me on set in Cozumel.
Of course.
And he was like, and he knew it was a dive film or whatever. And he was like, well, why don't you tell them I'm a dive master if they need help on set, since I'll be there anyways. And so I reached out to Kat, and I was like, hey, so just so you know, my boyfriend's a dive master if you just want him to help or whatever. And then it just happened to work out that he got cast.
Wow, how cool is that? Yeah.
She's like, but actually he's an actor. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then she told me who he was, and I, you know, checked him out. I'd never seen his show, but I, you know, checked it out, and I was like, Yeah. And he's a fantastic actor, and I thought, wow, lucky me. Yes. This is fabulous.
Everything fell into place. That's great.
Yeah. So why was it hard for you with the sex scene? I mean,
right.
This is your boyfriend.
I know.
I thought the sex scene.
Yeah. I don't know, it's too intimate, I guess.
Yeah,
And it's super choreographed, so that's not the issue. But I don't know, I'm not a big sex scene girl.
Yeah.
Maybe put me with the sharks any day. No, I mean, Kat and Fio, our DP, made it very comfortable. But there is something weird about being like, all right, it's one thing to kiss like a stranger, but now I'm like kissing my boyfriend.
Right.
And so it's like a little intimate.
Get to see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's stuff like that. Yeah, you're right.
It's not my jam.
So maybe it's better with a stranger. Yeah.
You've got to be with a stranger.
Well, the interesting thing is, and I do want to give a shout out to Fiorella Acapinci. She's a really great director of photography, and she did a terrific job, and especially in the scenes, because we actually had to do a pickup day here in LA to kind of do more sex. I'm like, hey guys, guess what? Because we only shot, it was like the first thing we shot out there, and I knew that, oh, this we can get at home, so I don't have to spend too much time on it. So I got a few key shots there in the hotel room, but then I'm like, okay, guys, remember when I said we might have to do this? Yeah. We have to do it.
Well, there you go.
And we put music on and made it fun.
Yeah, it was nice.
And but the thing is, too, is like there is, you know, natural chemistry between the two of them.
It's the best when you get that.
And not just talking about the sex scenes, but during their scenes and during their courtship and everything, I was a little concerned, like, we could lose the sense of that they're strangers and they're meeting for the first time and all that stuff. And they worked on that, and it came out really well. And people who actually see the movie say, oh my God, there was so much chemistry between your actors.
Got them.
That's great.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
I swam with sharks once in a cage with my now husband.
Where?
Right off of, in L.A.,
with Great Whites?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I should find out. But we didn't see one.
No.
I saw a lot of dark water, and that was it.
That's scary.
It was not. And I was like, oh, man. But anyway.
Like, I paid $200
for this. Yeah, what the heck, man? But
Falk and I are actually talking about going to Guadeloupe to go swim with the Great... Not swim. Cage dive with the Great Whites.
Who says that? Falk and I are going to Guadeloupe. Cage dive with the Great Whites.
Yeah, welcome to their world.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to go get a coffee.
Yeah. And since this film has to do with the ocean, it seems like everybody's eyes are blue in the movie.
It's true.
That's true, right?
Well,
except for Falk, I guess. He's good. Or maybe I can't see his eyes.
No, it's like a light green.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But, that was like a thing, too, is when, you know, there was a no-brainer in casting her, from, you know, her acting ability to the whole diving.
Thanks,
and
God.
Her eyes. I was just like, oh, my God. Yeah. She's got the bluest eyes. I have to play on this, you know? And so, you know, we did a lot of close-ups with the eyes. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, I had fun with the cinematography and, like, creating shots that were metaphorical and maybe poetic in a way. And so going from her blue eyes to the ocean.
To the sky.
To the sky and, like, different things like that. And playing with color. The first, you know, there's a lot of sort of flashback or parts that take place before she got to Cozumel, and I wanted to make that look really flat and just kind of sickly almost, and you know, and so then when she gets to Cozumel, it's like this boom boom pop up color everywhere.
Color and everything. Wow.
Yeah. And just to let people know, I mean, this is not a heavy drama. This is a romance. I mean, it really is a romance. And so when it does finally get, you know, released online, you know, I want people not to be afraid to see it. Yeah. It's an inspirational movie.
The cancer word there.
Yeah.
But, I know. Well, you did a pretty cool poster, too.
Yeah,
did
love
you,
the poster.
Yeah, did you design that one, too, yourself?
That's Matt Harris.
Oh,
he's my graphic go-to guy
Very nice.
Posters.
Very good.
Yeah,
very professional looking.
Yeah.
And you guys should definitely catch the movie. You can at least see the trailer.
And there's a music video.
There's a music video, too. Yeah, I see. You composed a song, too.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
You're unbelievable.
Breathe me
You're
in.
Singing it, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
oh, and you sing, too?
Yeah, co-wrote with Julie Julie Collings, with Julie Collings, UK artist, and she wrote music, I wrote lyrics, and she wrote, you know, combined with melody and things like that.
This
and
was such a creative process
totally.
For you.
It was so like,
totally.
Yeah, because I was stuck in development for like 2 years.
Yeah, this really scratched that itch for
and
you.
So I was just like, I gotta make a movie. Oh my God, I gotta be creative. I just was bursting with all this creative energy.
Yeah.
And I'm also a singer, and music is sort of really my background.
Oh, really?
So really, I was like, heck, it's my movie.
Yeah, I'm going.
No one's gonna tell me I can't put songs in my movie. Clint Eastwood freaking scores his own movie.
I guess a nut job. That's so good. That's so cool.
Well, that's very admirable. You know, I mean, you've done a lot of work for this. Now, what did you do before that, Kat? Before you produced your film?
Developing films, working on movies, and working with writers, and you know, writing, you know, getting scripts written, or co-writing scripts, or coming up with ideas, going to pitch meetings, and you know, doing a lot of that as a producer. That's what you do. But then I also have a music company, so I license music for film and television. I have a catalog. I represent like 100 bands, and have international distribution. Blah blah blah. Create music libraries for Universal Publishing and BMG, and so I do a lot of music, and I'm a singer, so I just toured in England with a choir with the
you?
I have no
totally multi-talented
time.
Yeah,
we're like, let's get coffee. I mean, really, crazy.
Well, some of
not to say that all of it makes me money.
It doesn't matter. It makes you grow and
live.
Okay.
It's not all about money, really. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's about proving that you can do certain things and stuff. And some of our listeners might wonder, are you single? I mean, they might say, this is a great package.
Yeah, she is.
Right?
Oh, so goodness. Yes, I'm single.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. You see, if you want to star in a movie, then get in touch with Kat.
If you want to be inspired.
You have to get on my casting couch now.
There you go. Find more male stars and stuff.
Well, here's the funny thing. Yeah. Is like I made this pact. I said, you know, every movie of mine, I'm going to have the guys are going to have their shirts off at one point in the movie.
Hell yeah.
I am going to be the female Roger Corman. And so all my guys are going to be naked or with their shirts off, even if it's a Hallmark movie.
There you go.
We appreciate you.
Yes.
We appreciate you.
Yes. Somebody's got to do it,
Kim, what were you doing before? You were also in film before that and everything?
Yeah, been the starving artist, if you would, in L.A. I've been out here for about 7 years, did the New York route for a year and a half, and now I'm going to Atlanta for a little bit.
So is that for film or just to go?
I was working on a TV show down there, and there's just a lot of work. I probably shouldn't say that on the radio. Stay here, guys. It's all good.
Yeah, don't go there.
I'm like booking my ticket.
Yeah, no, it's really great. I loved it. I spent a couple months there earlier this year, and just the people are so genuine. The Southern hospitality really is ingrained in them, and everybody's just excited.
Yeah
It's
very
like
cool.
The Hollywood of the South, but they don't like being called that because it's like before Hollywood got jaded and bitter.
Yeah,
and they're just like, let's create. That's you awesome. Can be in mine, you can be in mine, and it's just like, that's great, can't wait to be there, see you guys soon.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, but Kim's got a little bit of a reputation of herself. She's done a lot of work.
Yes.
She acts humble, like, you know,
walking down America's Next Top Model.
Oh, okay. Yes. called out
come on. You've done a lot of work.
Thank you.
7 years, you've done a lot of work.
Thank you.
I know people have been here longer who haven't done that. So
that's crazy. Sometimes it feels like nothing at all, and then other times you have to remain grateful.
Love yourself.
Yeah. Good job, Kim.
And Kat, what's next for you?
That's a really good question. I'm trying to figure out what my next project is. I'm kind of mulling about a whole bunch of ideas and looking at a lot of scripts. I'm deciding if I do have a couple projects in development at some networks, so I'm waiting for a green light on these things. So hopefully next year I'll be very busy with that. But as far as my own, like, what I really want to do is create independent features. And I want to do them for micro budget. I want to do them really, really cheap. I want to go back to, like, because what happens is what I learned from this whole process is when people are involved in a project where they're putting their heart and soul into it as opposed to just a paycheck. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do want to pay people.
Right.
But with smaller budgets, you're kind of forced to kind of really, you know, go bare bones. Yeah. And like everybody's holding different, you know, many different jobs because you have to, you know, juggle so many, you don't have the money to hire like so many. Yeah. And so I think that the process is so rewarding when you have everybody working like all for one, one for all. We're going to do this, and we all believe in the project. So it forces us to create quality,
mm-hmm.
you know, and create something that we all kind of have a little, you know, whether it's the actor wants to play this role because they don't normally get cast in this type of role, or, you know, or there's something more challenging about it for people, or the DP can experiment and do some really cool
shots.
It
goes back to like high school, and you're just doing it because you love it.
Yes.
Like, yeah, and you get the best.
Yes, and I think it forces you to create art. And we forget, and I know that sounds so pretentious, but we forget that film is an art. It's a medium that enables audiences to feel and to experience and to be entertained and, you right. know, all that stuff. And there's so many, and visual art. I mean, I just came from yesterday. I went to LACMA and went to the Guillermo del Toro exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
I was so inspired because I love his films.
Mm-hmm.
And I love practicals. And I actually was interesting because I was really looking at some of the compilations they did. You could really see a difference between the higher budget CG movies right. and like Pan's Labyrinth, mm-hmm. which was like the low budget, you know,
so good.
Really cool and just unique and artistic, and the vision they created from it. And because they didn't have the money, they're like, well, we're going to have to build this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's all actually that's, you know, don't fix it if it ain't broke. Mm-hmm. You know, right. just because you have the money, don't just go
throw
and do
it
a bunch
it.
Of yeah. cartoony crap, you know?
Well, we're totally out of time.
Okay.
I hate to cut your thoughts in the middle, but you started talking and talking, and I can't stop you now.
Love it.
But
love
it is the end of the show, though.
Get open.
So, Kat Green, Kimberly Lehmans, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Everybody go out, see The Big Swim. It's in film festivals and everything. You can see the trailer at the website, TheBigSwimFilm.com.
Yes.
And
promote independent movies. Go woo-hoo. To festivals.
Yes, go to festivals.
Go
please.
To short film festivals.
Exactly. And you get to see the beautiful Kimberly, everything. And she does have a sex scene, so it's worth watching.
And the movie will be right. in La Femme. The next festival is La Femme and Lady Filmmakers coming up in LA.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and see you tomorrow.
Be happy.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.